Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Bing-a-dee-bong, bong-a-dee-bong-a-dee-bong-bong. It's the decibel time. Hello, my name is Claire Tunty. James Clement is here also. We are married. We recommend you things to watch and listen to. James is just staring at me intensely.
I was trying not to interrupt.
Oh, is that what was happening?
And then I went and found a moment to jump in, but it was not the right moment.
Oh, no. Well, anyway.
It's a metaphor for life.
It is. The way this
Never shoot your shot.
Can I just get my words out?
This is the problem. This is what I was trying to help you with.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to stop.
Okay, so how this show works, if you're new here, is that we are married. We recommend things to each other, usually two each. We sometimes debate. We sometimes argue. We have a jolly good time.
Yep.
And then we finish. It's usually around half an hour. Nice, short, sharp, quick, jolly good time for all.
They can see that probably in the amount of time that this is probably.
Correct. Exactly. Okay. Well, and just to kick off, before we kick off, I should say James is a YouTuber and a podcaster. He's Mr. Sunday Movies. I mean, I know. You're like scoffing because I'm just talking about you so I can then talk about me.
I'm scoffing because I'm like, who cares? But let's.
What do people care? And he also has a podcast called The Weekly Planet that has a few views.
It's got a few views.
A few views with the old Nicholas Mason, who came over yesterday. He loves a winter outfit,
And you, in front of my good friend Nick Mason, accused me of being a cereal gum chewer, which is just absolutely not true.
All right. You came up with the word cereal gum chewer. I just said you always often like to chew gum.
And he's...
Because our son does too now.
I don't.
Why else would we have a stash of extra flavoured, like, I don't know, pink flavour?
Because we get a packet of gum every now and then for him. There's nothing wrong with that, Claire.
No, it's definitely you. It's you.
It's not me.
You passed it on to our son.
I'm not... He said in all the years that he's known me, which is also longer than I've known you...
Yeah, but not by
that
much.
He's never known
How
me to be a gum chewer.
How many extra years? A couple? Three? Four?
Like six?
All right, well, why don't you marry your boy Mason then?
Maybe Jeez. I will.
It's your other marriage, your work marriage. Yeah, all right. So Mason doesn't have to put up with any of your shit.
No, he does. It's just intense. It's like a two-hour, like, blast of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, do your dates.
Excuse my swearing.
Because this is our second last episode before you go away.
It is. Okay, so I am also a musician. I've written an album called Matrescence. It's indie folk and a bit experimental electronic sounds. Super fun. And also not. It's quite heartbreaking at spots. Anyway. I am coming to the UK and Ireland in July, and these are my dates. I'm going to London on the 2nd of July, 2 p.m., The Space UK with Amy Taylor Cabaz and the UK poet Holly McNish. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. All these events are seated, by the way, just letting everyone know. Tuesday, 4th July, I'll be in Exeter, 10 a.m. at the Hall Exeter. Babes in Arms are welcome at both of those events. Thursday, 6th of July, I'm going to be in Dublin, 8 p.m. at the Bellow Bar. Actually, Collings and Maisie are coming to that show.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm so excited. I'm actually going to meet them in person. I'm real excited. And so that is on the 6th of July. Then I'm heading to Glasgow on the 8th of July. I'm playing at Kingsborough Sanctuary at 2 p.m. Then I'm heading on Sunday 9th July to Edinburgh, 2 p.m. The Caves in Old Town. That gig is going to be with Mama Circles, so this woman called Roberta who's coming to do some folk storytelling and stuff. It's going to be fun. It's in a cave, underground, candlelight, all the things. I'm really excited about that one. Actually, I'm excited about all of them. Tuesday, 11th of July, I will be in Manchester. I've been playing at the Eagle Inn at 8 p.m. I'm going to be supported by two awesome local artists. One is Matthew Carey, a folk singer-songwriter, and the second is Volva Voce, who are a string quartet of four feminist, amazing women. They're going to be awesome, and then I'm going to be playing my album through. Thursday, the 13th of July, I will be in Petersfield at the Petersfield Museum and Art Gallery. That show is at 7:30 p.m. and that is with Michelle Norton-Hughes from Fly Mama, which is an incredible organization that have created an online platform for women to find more resources through their pregnancy and postpartum care. And then on Sunday, the 15th of July, is that correct?
I don't know. Is it?
Yes, Sunday the 15th of July, I will be in Basingstoke, 3 p.m., Willow's Coffee House with author Lucy Jones. Very excited about that one. Lucy has just released a book called Matress, since I talked about it on the show last week. Coincidentally, a lot of the sort of writing in her book mirrors some of the lyrics in my songs, and we live on opposite sides of the world and had never met each other until, well, I've never met in person, but didn't know of each other until about a month ago. And her work is just life-changing, and the reviews of her book that have come out have just been incredible. So
that
I'm not the only
is
one.
Incredible.
It's such a great read. It's really gripping and accessible reading, as well as being steeped in incredible research and just mind-blowing facts about this monumental transition that is matrescence, equivalent to adolescence, that we just don't get told about as women and people who give birth. And we end up just completely alone and flawed and thinking we're the only ones that feel that so discombobulated, when actually it's a natural part of the evolution of a person that creates life.
It's good, because for years you were saying the exact opposite. I'm glad you finally come on board to my way of thinking.
All right. Good. Anyway, so that's where I'm going to be. You can find all of the details and tickets and everything at clairetonti.com/events. And yes, I'm so excited to come. Please bring your mates. Please come along. Grab tickets.
Doesn't sound like there's a lot of time left.
No,
either.
I know there's not a lot of time. And I would really love to, if you're thinking about it, you really should do it. It's going to be great. My first show ended in a standing ovation, not to toot my own horn, but it was pretty great. And then my second show sold out in Melbourne completely. So had lots of lovely reviews from lots and beautiful letters from lots of people around the place. So you can check out my album on Spotify. That's enough. So self-promotion, on with the show. Right. What have you got this week, Jimbo?
Claire, I've got a couple of things to recommend. Okay. One is pretty grim. One's a light-hearted, fun, good time.
Oh, great.
Let's do the grim one.
Jump on in, just something different for you.
This is called, it's a movie called She Said, based on the 2019 book of the same name. It's a movie that, like, critically did well, but nobody saw.
Oh.
Maybe it was too woke, some are saying.
Mm.
I don't think so. Let's find out. So it's directed by Maria Schrader and with a screenplay by Rebecca Linkiewicz. I'm sorry, I definitely pronounced that wrong. I really tried though. It stars Carey Mulligan, who you might know from Promising Young Woman.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Zoe Kazan, who you might know from The Big Sick.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Patricia Clarkson, who you might know from The Green Mile, but also more recent things. It stars Ashley Judd, who you might know as Ashley Judd. She's always doing a thriller and being like, where's my family or whatever. Love Ashley Judd. And Andre Brauher, who you might know as the police chief from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I do remember him. Oh, he's great.
He is, and he's great in this. Well, they all are. Here's the synopsis, Claire. The New York Times journalists Megan Toohey and Jodi Kantor publish a report that exposes sexual abuse allegations against powerful Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. The shocking story also serves as a launching pad for the Me Too movement, shattering decades of silence around the subject of sexual assault and harassment. So this is a true story, as mentioned, based on the book and based on the reporting done against Harvey Weinstein, basically trying to prove or at the very least bring a whole lot of allegations to light of these things that he's been doing for 30-plus years, and how deep it goes and how many people knew and were protecting him. Because the thing about Harvey Weinstein is, like, everybody knows, has always known, that he's an absolute piece of shit. Like, that is, like, the general consensus in the world. Like, everybody knew that, but nobody knew, like, this side of things. Like, this is the stuff that, you know, that he was suppressing and threatening people about. So it actually starts with them doing a story on Trump and the multiple allegations against him, but it was kind of disheartening because nobody seemed to care because he just became president anyway, you know? So, and, you know, he's a horrible person, we all know, et cetera, and so forth. So it's kind of like, if you're going to go after a person like Harvey Weinstein, does anybody even care? He's not as powerful as Trump. You know, he's not as well known as Trump. Will anybody care that this Hollywood producer is doing this? You know, does anyone even really know who he is in kind of the broader, you know, spectrum?
Mm.
So the thing about this is as well, it's them realizing that this is a story that does need to be told. And so they end up speaking to all these different women about their experiences. And it's not just doing that. It's also trying to get them to go on record. And kind of the idea is that it's hard to get one person to come forward, but if you get multiple people, because that, like, he'll attack like a singular individual. But if you get multiple people, then it's less likely that there's going to be court cases and litigation and all that kind of thing. But you know, often we've found when people come forward, in particular women, obviously they're discouraged because of the way their names are dragged through the mud, and either mm-hmm. like, well, this is clearly just an this is how the industry works, or maybe, you know, you were asking for it, or, you know, you're a liar and whatever, all these different things that, you know, believe all women, but this one sounds a bit sus, you know, that kind of thing. That
yeah.
You see those comments literally every time something like this happens. So as mentioned, like, all of these allegations go back to the 90s, and he's produced some, like, incredible movies over the years through his company. But again, there's been, like, multiple allegations and payoffs and silencing. And as this story is kind of unfolding, Harvey Weinstein gets wind, and this, again, happened in real life, of that they're coming after him, that they're speaking to people. So he starts going on the attack and, you know, ringing around and trying to find out who they're speaking to. And one of the women they're speaking to is Gwyneth Paltrow, who doesn't want to go on the record. So he's, like, keeps demanding that they tell him if it's Gwyneth Paltrow who's, you know, who's the major actor, you know, making allegations. But one of the people in it who I mentioned, Ashley Judd, plays real life Ashley Judd, because she was a victim of Harvey Weinstein. Mm. And, you know, she's told this story before, and it's kind of like, so it's her perspective is in this as well. And that's kind of really fascinating to see, like, an actor playing themselves in a story like this. Does that
yeah.
make sense? Like, it's
yeah.
really, yeah, it's great. It's real. It's just really, you know, cool that she did that.
It's incredible. And I imagine incredibly difficult.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to access all of that emotion
yeah.
again.
And you got to go through, mm-hmm. and then you got to act. We wouldn't be pretending because these things happen, but then you got to, like, read.
But I mean, you have to, like,
yeah.
access all of that trauma and all of the emotions that you're going through. So you're basically reliving I would suggest probably the hardest
yeah.
things that she's been through.
And one of the things that happened, like, the things that happened to her, which I'm not going to get into, that's not even, like, the half of it. Like, there are so many things that are much worse.
Yeah.
Not to downplay what happened to her.
No, but no, absolutely.
Incredible. Just
and also
like
you
being
think
able to
about
come forward.
The amount of women in particular, and I know it happens to other people too, but particularly for women who never had big careers like Ashley Judd, but who were promised things and had their life and their career taken
yeah.
from them or stopped early because of the trauma of what they experienced or just the exploitation. Mm. Like, they were never going to be given opportunities but promised things.
No.
And they must be in the thousands.
I mean, I don't know. Honestly, like, there's a number that come forward in this. I don't know if that would be, like, possible to be in – I mean, for him in particular.
For him, but I just mean industry-wide.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And this is just, like, this industry, you know. This isn't even, like...
It's music industry.
It's any industry,
yeah.
you know. It's anything, you know. So yeah. it's, you know, it all culminated, and people would know this, that, like, this article did come out, and the knock-on effect of that is that, and this is public knowledge, that he's in jail probably forever, probably for the rest of his life. Like, his whole company is, like, collapsed in on itself, you know, as it should. But it's obviously... It's one of those situations where you don't see any of the things that describe, but things are described in graphic detail. It is women, like, recounting things that happened in real life.
Oh,
so obviously it ranges from, like, very, you know, uncomfortable to, like, to really triggering. So, you know, bear that in mind if you're going in to watch that. But it's just a really beautifully acted, like, interesting stories that are being told by, you know, multiple women across decades. And, you know, it comes out, like, later on in the movie that, you know, this isn't something that happened in the 90s. Like, this, it kept happening. You know, he didn't stop doing it, and he would make promises that I'm not going to do this again, and, you know, I have my word that this is something that I'm working on and blah, blah, blah. I know that I can be a bit too much. And he would just do that, like, again and again and just and get away with it. But in particular, the two leads, Carey Mulligan and Zoe Kazan, are great, really, really good as, like, the head reporters, you know, doing all of this work. It is on Netflix, in Australia at least, but it's available to watch wherever you are.
Yeah, wow.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's on streaming.
It's so interesting you've brought that today because I've got something that kind of dovetails into it in a totally different way.
Mm.
So I've been listening to a podcast called Witch that's been produced by the BBC Sounds.
Mm.
Well, by the BBC, but there's a program called the BBC Sounds. It's also available on Apple Podcasts, wherever you can get your podcast from. It's presented by Indira Rakusen, who's the creator of the podcast 28-ish Days Later. And she's on a journey to discover more about witches and witchcraft and its historical place, but also personally in her own life, the draw that she has to witchcraft and magic. And it's so interesting. She's got such an atmospheric way of presenting. The show itself kind of opens with the crackle of a fire, and immediately it kind of draws you into the woods. And for me, draws me back into the feeling that I had as a child of everything being possible, of the movie The Craft, of, you know, practical magic. And so much of this show I've been fascinated by because it talks about how the roots of the word witch even were a label given to people as a way of kind of singling women out, women particularly out as dangerous, as wild, as, you know, tearing down structures and patriarchy and evil.
It's easy to be like, this is a demon. And
Exactly. And obviously the witch burnings, and they were incredibly persecuted.
Mm.
And it's often women who were really knowledgeable about their bodies and themselves and the natural world. And there's a real deep connection. The second episode is called Natural Magic, which is so interesting because it talks about why witchcraft and witches are centered in the natural world. And as I've become more and more aware of the healing properties of herbs, and I know I think because of the way I was raised in a really deeply Catholic home, I think I kind of internalized, I've always been fascinated by witches, but I've kind of internalized the idea that that's like hocus pocus and a bit evil and a bit dangerous or something.
Sure.
But also my mum even has always been fascinated by the natural world, and like she takes photos of really intricate photos of the inside of flowers.
Yeah, your mum's
and
an amazing photographer. Yeah.
Yeah, she's obsessed with the moon. And what I've come to discover,
she does love the moon.
She loves the moon.
I'm indifferent to the moon.
No, but mum loves the moon and is drawn to it. And so am I in so many ways. And when I was writing my music, so much of it, I think, it was reflected from the women's circle that I started going to at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it other than that it felt like coming home, sitting in a circle of women with candles, sharing our lives, sharing our stories, meditating on our place in the world and our feet on the earth and our deep connection to it. And that's what witchcraft is at its core. It's about really articulating and moving with the seasons, with the way time works for us as human beings. I mean, witches are present in all cultures all over the world. And yeah, even that word witch I have real issues with because I think you label something and you can kind of take out the depth of meaning in it.
Yeah.
You just put it in a box as a particular thing.
And it's always, not always, but there is often also like a negative connotation with that.
Yeah, yeah, or just like all the history of like pointy hats and broomsticks and stuff. Whereas actually this unpacks that so much of it was about taking power away from women and our autonomy over their bodies and picking at the social fabric of community. And because of the work I'm doing in Matrescence, I found that there's actually an episode where they look at that too.
Yeah.
It's about understanding our bodies and what happens to us. And without that knowledge, women are hampered. We are traumatized. We are confused. We're disconnected from each other and disconnected from community because we don't understand what's really happening for us and to us. And so I think there's been a real rise, as I say in the podcast, of fascination with witchcraft and magic. But I actually think what it is at its core a deep yearning for those natural rhythms, for really deeply understanding the power of herbs and plants, food, being in nature and the seasons. Even now this week here in Australia, it's winter solstice, starting to celebrate that though, because at the moment in my cultural heritage, it was Catholic, so we celebrate Christmas and Easter. But here, Easter is supposed to be a time of spring, right? But actually here it's autumn.
Yeah.
So none of the symbolism even matches up with the time of year.
No.
And Christmas is super hot. It's like 40 degrees. So it doesn't match up with what was a really ancient pagan time of, you know, the cold and the solstice.
Yeah.
And so to me, matching our lives up with those rhythms of the season only can be a good thing, yeah. I think. And it feels good because we are also then acting out our lives in a way that is more connected to the way the rhythms of the earth work. So in winter, we should be more closed. We should be in deep rest. We should be doing big dreaming without actually being really energetic and out there because everything's closed down because the world needs rest. The earth needs rest, as do we.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that is to say.
I find that really interesting as well, and just that idea of educating young people, and not just women, anybody, about like how these things work and how your body works and what changes you know are expected that you go through, because there is this kind of push that you label up, like that's been labeled like grooming, whereas I see it, and you know we've worked in schools that
you
know,
mean
run
in terms
programs.
Of like sexuality as well.
Everything, like it's not because it's not all necessarily like sexuality based. It's how does your
body
work?
Yeah,
and what is, and it's also like what is appropriate for other people, you know, in relation to you and setting up boundaries. And when you actually do talk about these things, and obviously there are levels, so you're not going to bombard like a 4-year old with like every piece of information about their cycle and what's going to happen to them during puberty and whatever. Like all of that, you know, you obviously, you know, you build up to it.
But it's normalizing the fact that we are creatures with bodily functions that aren't weird or strange.
No.
They're a
and
natural
then
part
when it happens,
of
you're
order.
Not like, am I dying? Like, you know what I mean? Is this strange? Like,
exactly.
Is this cancer or whatever? Because often people who are alone, who are not taught these things, these are the things that go through their mind. So when you actually teach people about this stuff, it is literally like the opposite of grooming. It is giving them the tools.
It's power.
It's power, exactly. And when you take that stuff away, that opens the door for people to take advantage of people when you leave people in the dark.
Which,
and it just fucking it's everywhere at the moment, and it just makes me fucking furious.
But that I could say there's a huge, as I'm learning, and I'm not an expert in this, but as I've started to look more and more into birth and matrescence, and I fell into that because of my story and the music I've created, but in terms of midwifery and the power and knowledge that women had about their bodies, the medical profession sort of came in, and as understanding of medicine grew and it became a very male-dominated field, they kind of took it away from midwives. And that meant that so much of the innate kind of practical stuff around birth, around the placement of the baby, around even washing your hands, there were like reports of like women getting sepsis because male doctors were examining cadavers and then delivering babies.
Yeah.
And that kind of power was taken from those communities of women because the other reports, the high rates of birth trauma in Australia, it's like 1 in 3. One of the major indicators of birth trauma is early intervention and that can happen because it's necessary, but often it's unnecessary because hospital systems have, you know, numbers they need to hit, and if you go over 2 days, they're like, well, it's dangerous now and all of that stuff. But also having women with you, a person, but usually a woman who's been through birth herself, who understands what's going on for your body and is a person that you trust and who you love often, or who at least you trust really deeply and knows you, having them with you through your pregnancy and then through your birth is so, you know, pivotal in giving you the best possible chance of your body doing what it needs to do. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have a violent birth or that it isn't going to be brutal, but it means that you've got more power and autonomy over the choices that happen during it. And you've got more of a chance of giving birth without too much intervention, which can lead to so many problems down the line.
Yeah.
And I would say as well, as I talked about last week, knowledge like, I didn't realize some women just don't have enough mammary glands to produce milk. No one ever said that to me. If I'd known that, I could have looked at it and seen whether that was why I didn't produce enough breast milk. But instead, women are left alone and shamed and isolated for all different reasons. And it's absolutely about taking away their autonomy and power. And the result is a whole generation in Western culture of women, I think, who are often isolated and traumatized through becoming mothers. And then they're kind of thinking they have to look perfect and be pushed back into the workforce. And it's exhausting. Mm. It's exhausting and damaging for everyone. And it's that kind of idea of capitalism connects into it about us being.
You need two people in the like. two incomes.
Yeah,
and
none of it works.
No.
None of it works. And interestingly, in this podcast, something I've been exploring, I'm going to do a show in Edinburgh and I've been really drawn there. And I don't know, I was trying to think why, because we don't really have a huge audience in Edinburgh, but I've always wanted to go. And I didn't know until I listened to this podcast that Edinburgh is one of the places that had a huge population of persecuted witches.
Did it?
So like something close to 4,000, if not more, primarily women, let's say mostly women, were murdered, persecuted for witchcraft and being a witch from the 16th to, I think it was the 14th to the 16th century.
Yeah.
And even Edinburgh Castle was seen to be one of the worst places for that, for the burning. So they were often strangled and then burnt. Yeah. And there's barely any monuments. And one of the interesting episodes they do on this particular phenomenon talks about two women, and their names are Claire Mitchell, who's a lawyer, and Zoe Vendertozzi. They both live in Edinburgh in Scotland, and they've started a campaign to bring justice for the women who were burnt and persecuted for witchcraft. Because Claire said she was standing in one of the parks, which is a common thing across the world, and looking at all these monuments to all these men and realizing that there were like basically no monuments to women who fought in the war, or even really any great plaques kind of articulating what happened at Edinburgh Castle to these thousands and thousands of people.
Well, history is like written by the victors, you know, so that's why you got statues of lunatics.
Yeah, and sorry, I'll just correct that. No. It was the 16th to the 18th century.
Okay, cool, yep.
Yeah, so
which isn't that long ago, you know?
It's really not. It's really not. And so I just...
It's like a handful of generations back, you know?
Yeah, it's really not that long ago. And I think the repercussions of that are still being felt. She said even in Edinburgh, there's quite a lot of controversy around that, and there is still some kind of belief that those witches were evil and that's why they were murdered.
That's an insane thing to like.
I know. But she said, but it's like.
Like what? What?
Yeah.
What would that even mean? Like why evil? Like what specifically?
Like
would
intentionally creating magic to harm people.
But that's obviously like that's lunacy.
Or heretics or devil worshippers or, those things.
Even if it was
against
that,
the church, all of
it's
that
not
stuff.
Like, that's not a thing. You know what I mean? Like it's not, they're not giving people heart attacks with lightning strikes and, you know, it's ridiculous.
What is interesting though is I think we can't underestimate the seeds of that idea that women are evil.
Yeah, sure. Like, I'd believe that.
That kind of sit below the surface, the idea that women's pain is less believed. Like you only have to look at the medical profession in general and see that story in the Bible of Eve eating the apple and that she was cursed with pain in childbirth. And you can see that women's pain, there's so many studies to show this, is just less believed, less acknowledged, less researched.
And in particular women of color as well. Like
it's that even worse.
Yeah.
Exactly. And not just by male professionals but it's also women in the space too have been infected by that kind of undercurrent of misogyny that kind of ripples through. So I just, the more I look at it, I realize like most of my heritage is from the UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to be going because I feel drawn there. Yeah. I know that sounds, whatever that sounds, woo-woo, whatever.
You want to do some damage. You want to kill some men with lightning.
I just want to go back to my heritage because I reckon I had some witches out there in my heritage. Or what? But I don't even like that word. I think I just had women in my heritage who were powerful and interesting and strange and connected to the world and paid attention to the seasons.
That Adam and Eve story is so wild. Like, first of all, like, it's obviously like a fable. It's not true. Mm. It's a metaphor for fucking nonsense or whatever. But like, I mean, it's interesting as an historical story.
It's so fascinating. The Bible's fascinating.
Yeah, of course it is. As like a historical document, weird stuff, right? But obviously it's of a certain time. But this is the idea that like the test was don't eat this apple. Then a snake who was the devil told you eat an apple. Then you ate an apple. Like,
and you fell out of the Garden
also
of Eden.
Like, who cares?
So everything would have been perfect.
What a ridiculous story. I guess apples were like, I don't know, were they harder to get?
They would have been at that time. I guess so. It is interesting.
I'm eating three apples a day, Claire.
I know. I mean, even the fact that a woman is made from a man's rib and then she's the one that brings him down or something. It's just a fear. It's a deep-seated fear of women, I guess, or feminine power and energy. And we need both. We need both like masculine and feminine energy, the yin and the yang. Everything you see in the patterns of nature all feed into each other. And we can have more or less of that. Doesn't matter whether we were born with a particular body. You know, we all have those kind of energies present within us. It's just, I know, the more I look at our culture, and it's just really interesting because I also have realized that in my life, and I think I've talked about this before on the show, being raised Catholic, I love the rituals of so much of that. I felt like some of it was familiar, but none of it really felt real to me enough, or there was something underneath it. And probably the fact that I always wanted to be a priest and get up there and like write, do a ceremony, and could never do that, was never allowed to do that. Tell the jokes around the bulletin and like light the candles. The closest I got was to be an altar girl. And I always thought that was so fucking wrong. And I just, the more I see it, the more I realize so much of those ceremonies that I grew up with and the pageantry of that is present in pagan rituals.
Absolutely. A lot of that
was borrowed. In women's circles, it was borrowed. Like even the idea of an altar, like the first Christian churches were people all sitting in a circle, all on one level. No one was higher than each other. And they were there to discuss and talk about what they believed to be a good way of living, about their issues, about their connection with God. And it was equal.
Yeah.
And that to me seems so much like what is in these ancient circles of women. And in a patriarchal society, I just think they've been broken. Mm. But I just feel like there's a rise of it coming. I can just feel it, this like feminine energy kind of rising.
Good.
And anyway, I'm just really.
And it's also, I think, you know, there might be people that hear this and probably not like in this with our audience, but it's not about like dominating
men
or destroying
not at all.
Men. It's just about giving everybody a voice.
Yeah. I saw a really interesting tweet about this actually that said that some men really fear this because in their head, they're like, well, equality or like women rising up would mean that we would do what they did to us. So like they see it as us taking all their power away as like, and not just, I should say, you know, that idea of like, well, women being equal, that means that they'll take away our reproductive rights or like education about our bodies and dominate.
Yeah.
But overall, that's not what, when you speak to most women, we want
at all. Why?
Actually, equality is about being, you know, overall the dreams and wants and needs of women in general, and not all women, but generally in non-binary people and people of minorities, people of color, communities, actually it's a vision for a world that fits everyone.
Yeah.
Really. Which I found so interesting to reflect on, and maybe that's where the fear comes from.
Well, I find it boring.
Anyway, and that's like a Claire
Thanks a lot,
on a Claire. Real
you took up
rant.
The whole episode.
And anyway, that podcast is called Witch, and you can find it on all podcast apps or through BBC Sounds. The presenter is Indira Rakusan. Rakusan.
See, this is what men are worried about. You come on to the podcast, you dominate the space, and now I don't have time for my second recommendation.
Oh, Claire. I'm so sorry. I know. This is, we were
no, it's good. It means for next week I've got something.
All right, okay. Yeah, because I've got a second one
cool.
too.
All right, we'll save it
for next week. That'll be the last one before I go.
Oh,
and then we're hopefully going to try and do Suggestible and The City.
Yeah, whatever. Well,
I heard Sarah Jessica Parker on a podcast saying she can never remember if it's Sex in the City or Sex and the City.
Well, she should know. That's disrespectful, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think it's and.
Is it?
Hang on.
It's and. It is and, right?
Sex in the City. I think it's and.
You got in my head.
It's and. It's definitely and, right?
It says it's through. Sex through the city. I never know. It's sex and
sex
the city.
Sex on the city.
Sex on the city.
Sex under the city.
Oh, my God.
That's just
in
like
the sewer
women having
with the
sex.
Rats.
And the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Totally.
Anyways, maybe you like this show. Maybe you don't. Either way, here's something you can do for fun. You can review the show on your app of choice. And if you give us 5 stars, I will read out your review, unless it's super weird. In which case, but if it's good weird, I will read it out. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
I hope I've defined my boundaries clear enough because it's important to know boundaries and to set your own boundaries.
Great.
So this is from Young Field Mouse who says, 5 stars, by the way. Thank you so much. Love to listen. Great show and great people. That's all you need to do. Or you write a long weird one. Whatever you want. It's up to you. Thank you, Young Field
Thank
Mouse.
Thank you, Young Field Mouse.
You're not
going
to live long
because
you're a mouse and you live in a field, but I hope you're okay.
Life seems hard. Unless you're that mouse. Is it that story of the mouse who, like, collected all the nuts over summer? Over and then, like,
isn't that, like, a
It's a fable.
A ferret and a rat.
Wasn't there a fable about a city and a country mouse or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, be the mouse that collects all the nuts over summer.
The city mouse was like, ah, I just want to watch TV. And the country mouse was like, well, I want to chop wood.
Right.
And they killed each other.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's very brutal. All right. Mm-hmm. Nature is harsh. Okay. Is. So I have an email. If you would like to write into the show with comments or suggestions, we would love to hear your suggestions. You can write to the show at suggestiblepod@gmail.com, just like Emerald has. Hi, Claire and James. Big fan. But I'm really writing to thank you for suggesting your friend's motherhood journey. I just had baby girl number 2 in April with a C-section, and my mother hasn't been emotionally supportive. She says I'm doing so many things wrong because I'm not producing enough milk, and she's compared me to women that overproduce. Baby Peaches is sleeping through the night now, but my mother is of the belief that I should be waking her up to feed, and she's criticized me for not soothing my baby enough.
No, that's not true.
I know. All I know is that since she's been gone, I've actually been able to instinctively care for my baby with an app called Huckleberry, which is my suggestion, recommended to me by my daughter's godmother, who is a new mother herself. This is great for people who are sticklers for having baby on a schedule for feeding and changing and whatever else you can think of. It ties me to my phone, which is a little bit annoying, but it's easier and more convenient than paper and pen.
And you can remember it because it's like all there.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I use it for my toddler too. I had no idea of its existence when she was a baby, but we survived anyway. Sorry for all the words. I'm the only parent my girls have, and I'm trying my best. I'm just relieved to hear there's a practical reason for my low production. Love Suggestible and Suggestible in the City and the Weekly Planet. Tell Meso I said hi. Miss Emerald. Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. I know. And it sounds like also, I guess like the biggest piece of advice is to just do whatever works for you.
Correct.
Like you'll get a bunch of advice and some of it might work for other people and it doesn't work for you.
Exactly.
I'm speaking out of turn here, obviously, because Claire is dominating the podcasting sphere, as we know. But it sounds like you're doing it, you know, and you're doing what works for you and your baby is fed and healthy and sleeping. So fuck all the noise. Like if this is what's working for you, that's great. You're doing the right thing.
Totally. And it can be really tricky when the person that's giving you criticism is within your own family as well, which I've heard from friends has been incredibly challenging.
Totally. It happens. You see it happen all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been really lucky with the support within our family. But, yeah, you do. Because they love you and they want the best for you and people do it in all different ways. But, yeah, it can be incredibly challenging. So hold on because you're doing an amazing job and your kids are super lucky to have you, Emerald.
And you know what's wild about being a parent, and this is at any point in your life, like it could be up until forever, is that you've never been a parent at that point before. So when you become a parent, it's all new. Like even now, like we have a 7-year-old. I've never parented a 7-year-old before.
Yeah.
And I've even told, you know, our son that and our daughter that as well, not as much her because she's a little bit younger, but just like, this is new to me. I'm not an expert on any of this. I'm trying, you know, I'm not. You know, I'm making it up as I go a lot of the time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Yeah. You've never done it before.
No, exactly. And sometimes we get it wrong. But I think as Carleen McGoran
is awake.
Oh, gosh, we better go. Well, I'll just say this quickly. Carleen McGoran, who, as I've talked about before, I interviewed on my podcast, Taunts, gave me the best parenting advice, which was that it's okay. Whatever's happened, the most important thing you can do is the repair after the fight or after the thing you've said wrong or after things have gone pear-shaped, you go back in and you repair and you mend and you talk and you connect. All right. We've been Special Podcast. As always.
Remember when you leave the hospital and they're like, here's your baby.
And you're like, ah! What?
I think you're mistaken. That baby lives here.
I just remember saying, isn't someone going to like check that we put them in the car, right?
Someone should do a scan on us or
something. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you can write to the show, suggestiblepod@gmail.com. Thank you as always to Raw Collings for editing this week's episode. Thank you also to Maisie for running our socials.
Two incredible people. You can meet at that show in
Dublin on the 6th of July. Very exciting. All of the details are at claire20.com/events to buy tickets and see where I'm adventuring to. I would love to come and say hello after the show. And that's it. We've been suggestible. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.